she played when the moon comes over the mountain.
Yeah, couldn't think.
Did you play one for me and Jimmy called What Are We Gonna Do With the Baby-O? Didn't you play that one on the Dulcimer?
What Are You Gonna Do With the Baby?
Yeah.
Stuck my finger in the baby's eye. What are we gonna do with the baby? What are we gonna do with the baby? Drop him in the calico, send him to his daddy-o. That's all I know. Wrap him up in the tablecloth, throw him on the old barn loft. Rocky bye, baby. Rocky bye, oh baby. I used to sing that when I was a little one. Never thought my mother liked it. I was the oldest one of my family, and I took care of all the rest of the children. There's eight of us. And I had to rock the cradle and took care of the rest of them. And Dad and Mother went some places. Let the children do something, get into something, and get me for it. Something else I try and think of. Play.
Lady just sang that for us this week.
Twilight is stealing over the sea. Yeah. It's pretty. Shadows are falling back on the lea. Oh, no, the night wind voices of yours come from the far shore, far away beyond the starlit sky, where the happy home so bright.
There's an old tune I used to sing when Miss Kid skipped to the loo, my darling.
I don't think she did, but we had the parties, and when there was no music, we sang them kind of songs.
And yeah. What other ones did you sing and play?
Well, there was one, there was half a dozen of other songs that we sang, but I haven't heard her serve for so long. I was just about.
Did you do one? We visited an old mill the other day, and the old man, he sang a little bit of one about one hand in the hopper and the other in the sack. Let's see.
Same old man.
Man living at the mill. The mill goes around with the right good will. One hand in the hopper and the other in the sack. The ladies step forward and the gents fall back. Did you ever do that one?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go with sowing wheat. Or here we go with sowing oats.
There's another one called Weevily Wheat.
Oh.
That's let's see. And it was a very popular play that we sang. I don't want none of your Weevily Wheat, and I don't want none of your barley. Give me some of that good old rye to bake a cake for Charlie. Charlie's a handsome lad, oh Charlie's a dandy. Charlie likes to swing them gals because they are so handy. Don't want none of your Weevily Wheat, don't want none of your barley. Give me some of that good old rye to bake a cake for Charlie. Higher up the cherry tree, the riper grows the berries. The more you hug and kiss them gals, the sooner they will marry. Those are endless verses to that. That was one that we at Weevily Wheat. There was a platform over there that they built at the schoolhouse above Trout there that they had platform dance there. And that was there when Pauline and some of them girls was there when I first went to start the school.
And when you didn't have a fiddler or something, you just
sang. Eight hands up and around we go, jingling wind the tidy-o, jingling wind the tidy-o. You heard that one. You know.
Is there more to that?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There's all kinds of verses.
Can you remember anymore? I like that.
Jingling Winder. One old girl was about as big as these ones when I was about 10 and started school. I was dancing with Jingling Jimmy by the toe. that was Bill McMillian.
We used to play games in school at noon hour, all of us together.
Singing.
We had one called Pet Squirrel, you know.
Ah, is that Mighty Poor Dog?
And London Bridge.
Can you sing Pet Squirrel?
Yeah, we can.
Can you sing it?
No, I can't sing.
Is it,
Don't think there was much singing to it. It was just...
Is it in and out the briarbush, needle eye, in and out the briarbush, needle eye, yo. Can't yeah. catch a pet squirrel, needle eye, can't catch a pet squirrel, needle eye, yo.
Yeah, that's about all I ever
one
remember.
One more dog, needle eye.
We played that at school, way back.
Was that the one where you dropped the handkerchief?
Yeah.
And
no, we, that's a different play.
That's a different one.
Different. We play pet squirrel and they go along and hit somebody and they chase him around to catch him.
And you just hit him. So.
He had to be the chaser.
Mm-hmm.
And they sing that. But they dropped the handkerchief and then somebody's, whoever you dropped it behind, well, that made him the next fellow. So. Been so long, I kind of forgot what it was like. But we used to like to play the St. London Bridge is falling down. A whole group of us out there and run, take one behind the other and drag them off, then pull one another. London Bridge, My Fair Lady.
Did you ever do... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you ever do one called the Duke of York? Something like that. The Noble Duke of York? He had 10,000 men.
I don't know.
Marched them all the
up. I never heard that one.
Again.
That one... That, sir, that one I was saying there was an English... That's Weevily Wheat.
Yeah.
That's an English.
Mm-hmm.
The same song.
Mm-hmm.
One, I don't think I sang for you fellas that was here was. Come all the young people, while you're discerning, tell you where I come from, where I got my learning. Come out of old Virginia, where you find your great men. My name's Paul Smash, principal, statesman, second best none. This side, son, all about my head, do away half a ton. Tell you what a fight has Davy Crockett, half horse, half coon, and half skyrocket. Metal Davy one down, he's going gunning. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going cooning. I said, where's your gun? He said, I have none. Said I, Colonel Davy, howdy, hunt without one. Come along now and follow up your Davy, and darn soon show you how to grin a coon crazy. We hadn't gone far until we seen a squirrel sitting on a pine, not eating sheep sorrel. Stop, stop, still, he began to feel. He said, Paul Smash, won't you brace again my heel? I put out my foot to brace again the center, see old Davy grin hard for his dinner. He grinned away a while and he said he must be dead, for I seen the bark fly all around his head. We drew up truth to discover, wished him a die, old Paul Smash my liver. If it ain't a pine not big as a barrel, I said, Colonel Davy, do you call this squirrel? He said, don't you laugh, you black calf. I came back near and bite you in a half. Well, he pinned back his ears and he puffed like a steamer, and I said, Colonel Davy, I intend to see a screamer. Took off my gun and laid down my ammunition. I said, Colonel Davy, I'll cool your ambition. Then we locked horns. I thought my breath was gone. I've never squeezed so tight since the day I was born. The bullets all fought half a day and then agreed to stop it. For I was badly whipped. So was Davy Crockett. We began to look, both our heads missing. He'd bit off my head and I'd swallowed his'n. Then we did agree to let each other be. I was badly whipped and so was he. Ever hear that
one? I heard that one time, yeah, from one guy.
I don't know, I learned that when I was just a kid. I don't know where, I don't believe it's some fellow sang it. Seemed like it was Earl Dawson, an old boy that used to work for Dad in the log camps.
I bet you sang us that one about the boxing match that took place in England.
It wasn't marrying an old comes along the... It was Mary England, home of Johnny Bull. Britain fills her glasses, she fills them brimming full. Toast that she drinks to the health of Britain braves. Oh, we are the champion over land and the waves. Uncle Sammy raised his head and looked across the main. What in the devil, that bull bellowed again. Does he not remember the giant over the pond who used to play with lightning when his day's work was done? Or does he not remember that this giant stronger rose, that is always on his muscles and ready for his foes? It was Mary Ingall in the bloom of spring. Sears, the British champion, stood stripped off in the ring to fight our noble Heenan, the gallant son of Troy, and the trash British muscles on a brave militia boy. The bet was 10-1 when the Sears come rushing in. Coppers were tossed and the battle did begin. They fought like noble heroes till one received a row and the red crimson dye from the Yankee's nose did flow. First blood, cried Johnny, let old England shout for joy. And they cheered the British bully while her brave militia boy. Tiger rose within him like lightning in his eyes. Now smile away, old England, but Sears, mind your eyes. Come all grand round of all boys, this world will never beat. When the son of Uncle Sammy bore the champion from his feet, Heenan's backers they did smile while they held him in the air, and from his grasp it threw him, caused his Englishman to stare. Then Johnny Bull remembered the fight at Bunker Hill, at another at Lake Erie where he also got his fill. Soon he heard a warning, caused him for to sigh, oh, beware Yankee muscle, Johnny Bull, mind your eye. Come all you noble heroes, your fame and fortune made, come and look upon our eagle and never be afraid. Merry Union lasts forever and the flag it will unfold and the star-spangled banner proudly floats throughout the world.
I like that one. Yeah.
You ever hear anything like that?
I haven't, I don't think.
I wanted to try to track that down and see if I can figure out.
Huh?
I wanted to try to track that down and see when that fight took place and find a date on it.
It was way back, just not long ago, I don't reckon, after the Revolution. Like the
War of 1812 would be the battle on Lake Erie.
I expect.
But it was Heenan from Troy. You think that'd be Troy, New York?
I figure that's what I always think was from Troy, New York.
Mm-hmm. And where did you learn that one?
Oh, Uncle Loman Lewis and Loman sang that one. I can first remember.
Do you all play?
I don't play the dulcimer myself, but some of those ladies do, I think. Don't you play some?
Tim.
From?
Tim.
Oh, Tim plays, that's right.
Skinned him up, put him on the board, but by God, he's smelling for a mile.
Any more?
Out come Granny hopping on a cane. Out come Granny hopping on a cane. Swore she'd have that groundhog brain. Granny. Old man Joe, daddy of them all. Old man Joe, daddy of them all. Fed him on groundhog before he could crawl. Groundhog.
What was the one, old man Joe, daddy of them all? What was the last one?
Old man Joe, daddy of them all. Old man Joe, daddy of them all, fed him on groundhog before they could crawl. Groundhog.
Meat's in the cupboard and the hide's in the churn.
Meat's in the cupboard and the hide in the churn. Meat's in the cupboard and the hide in the churn. Well, that ain't groundhog, I'll be darned. Groundhog.
Skin out the meat and save the hide. Skin out the meat and save the hide. Make the best shoestrings ever was tied. Groundhog.
There was lots of verses. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it in a year.
Oh, Up in the holler at the porch of the branch. Up in the holler at the porch of the branch. The old sound whistles and the little pigs dance. Groundhog. Killed any groundhogs this year?
No, I haven't. I haven't killed one. Her nephew was up here a while back and killed a couple. But he was just groundhog hunting. He came up at Martinsville. Mm-hmm. Came down to visit a while and he'd get out and kill a couple of groundhogs. One about yearling, another an old big one. Just took the hams off of him, but the young one was good.
Do they ever call them whistle pigs around here?
Oh, yeah.
I thought so.
Fran, your turn. Give us a tune. Let's see.
For Henry Harvey.
Jerry Mills.
Oh, yeah. I can get it in tune, and I'll grow it now. I'll drop it in tune. Go with the sound.
I don't play it. I've never played one.
Well, either have I.
Right now. Doesn't take
long.
Now, Reba.
Thank you.
in a straw.
When your father played the dulcimer, did he ever take it away from home to play it? Did he ever play it in church or any place other than home or just in the house?
No, I don't think so. But people used to come there on Sundays and holidays and play for him. I don't remember taking it.
What was his name?
Newton Johnston.
Newton Johnston. And he lived right. You took us out to her old home place, is that right?
That's where he was born over there. Mm-hmm. His home was right over yonder, just around between here and the truck.
Uh-huh. You know, I noticed that you and Nina will say "trout" a different way than most people say it. Is that a certain accent or something that's around here? Do you know?
Most, I suppose it is.
I've heard people call it a Tuckahoe accent. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I've heard a lot of anybody from over in Virginia used to be Tuckahoe.
Uh-huh. Maybe that's where your people came from.
I suppose they did, potentially. Mm-hmm. That's a start of me.
From Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Oh, yeah?
His people. I think mine did, too.
Uh-huh.
Why do you suppose that they left Harrisonburg, Virginia to come over here?
Must have been crazy.
No.
Because of the truth.
Timber.
Timber?
Timber, not coal. They came here, you see, they farmed all of them then, raising little something decent. Back in here used to be a lot of timber. Mm-hmm. But they worked that out in the coal, and now they're going back into Virginia and around fine work.
Mm-hmm. There's the timber. Used to, this from here on over to Richwood, and over Coal Knob and on Cranberry and Cherry River, there was logging. That's at Cherry River Boom and Lumber Company. Their headquarters was Scranton, Pennsylvania. But they come in here about around the turn of the century, and they logged there till the late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold out to talking down in the lower end of the states here, and then there's Georgia Pacific has this mill, the plant there now.
Mm-hmm.
And they had thousands and thousands of acres of timber, and they're going over that now, just recutting it.
Yeah.
And they put the big end of it in the Monongahela National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
With the option of logging it when it grows up. And where that they logged when I was just a boy, it's been cut over again now, and then now there's good sized timber on it.
Mm-hmm.
They had at Cherry River Boom Lumber Company had a higher grade of railroad system.
Mm-hmm.
They had 18 standard gauge engines when they finished up there.
Mm-hmm. They had some big camps, I guess.
Yeah. And about 1908, and along then, the people come here, they thought if they come over in Virginia, they thought if they make it to Richwood, they had made.
Mm-hmm.
There was the big mill, they called it, saw a lumber mill.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a handle factory there, and a tannery, paper mill, and a clothespin factory, and hell, you could get a job someplace anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you didn't, of course, the loggers came from down east around all over the country. As they cut out up in New York, Pennsylvania, they used to come down in here. Mm-hmm. And the loggers was come from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And when I was in my teens and 20s, log train man had you could get a job just about any place you went, wanted. And there was a fellow I knew that used to see him around. I worked at Meadow River Lumber Company. Mm-hmm. And for the curtain lumber company, Party and Curtain on Gulf. Mm-hmm. And West Virginia Pulp and Paper Company, it was Cass and the head of the Greenbrier and that kind. Mm-hmm. And you could go to any of them camps. They usually had two or three camps on each job. And Cherry River had, they had dozens of contractors. And if you didn't, they worked Austrians in the company camps.
Is that right?
Way back around 1908, my father was driving a team there, skid and load, and the crew got just independent. They wanted to turn out and work all right. Then, of course, them days, you know, you got so much a day and board. Mm-hmm. And I worked at Raynell for the Meadow River Company. You got $2 and a quarter a day and board for just common work, just driving grabs or road monkeying or whatever you're swamping. And the loggers, they just got lazy, I reckon. And Howard Showmore was his camp boss for, and they had three different company camps. And they worked around 100 men. And Showmore was working up about Elk Lake Bottom there, the camp that he was running in. And one morning there, they get up with drizzling rain, and he turned out, he just comes to the door, you know, and the boss comes to the boys, all right, boys, let's go. Of course, everybody knew where their job was, what they were doing. If there's any tramp hands there, when the crew turned out, he'd say, if there's any of them that he wanted to put to work, needed anybody, he just called you and say, you go so-and-so.
You call them tramp hands?
Huh?
You call them tramp hands?
Tramp hands. Anybody that wasn't working, and you could go to the camp, and you just went in and sit down, and the lobby hog would show you a bed at night, and when mealtime comes, you went to the table with the rest of them. And if the boss needed anybody, next day he'd call you out, and he didn't ask you what you could do. He told you where to go, what to do. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't need anybody, he just went off. Well, you just went up to the next camp. Mm-hmm. Be there by dinner time. Maybe you'd go to work, and you'd go to work usually. And if they knew you, if you'd been there and worked and was in accounts, you could always go to work, put them back to most any camp and go to work. Mm-hmm. And one morning, Showmore showed, he turned out, and they'd been doing that. It was just
slacked off, quit raining by work time, and he turned, told him, let's go. He just went over to the, they just went ahead and playing set back or whatever they was doing in the lobby, and he just went and got his books and took them down to the office there at Richwood and just said, there, if you can do anything inside of Richwood, go ahead and do it. I'm done. And old Captain Gray was the superintendent. He just went up to Philadelphia and hired a dozen Austrians of immigrants. And there's a fellow, I forget his name, who was the interpreter that came here with that. And he brought them Austrians, just got the train, got them on the train, brought them down and went up to the camp and give everybody their time and put them Austrians to work.
Brought in a new crew.
Yeah. And after that, well, he just gradually filled every camp with the Austrians. And then there was contracted places that wasn't easy to log. They'd contract to some fella for whatever he could, so much a thousand to put in a thousand board feet. Yeah. So what they put into the landings. And Dad, he logged for them for a year.
Back when I was growing up, a child, there was sawdust piles all over the country.
Oh, there was sawmills.
There were sawmills all over there.
Where do you think all this lumber ended up?
Well, everywhere. They shipped it. This hardwood from around here was prime stuff.
Yeah.
White oak, red oak, poplar. And our Cherry River, they had the head of Cherry River and Cranberry and Williams, and that was a tremendous area. And it was mostly pine, spruce, and hemlock. Mm-hmm. There's hemlock trees there. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Cheap Mountain.
Cheap Mountain was a pine country.
Yeah. Did you ever cut spruce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now that's what they call the U-pines?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all in the head of North and South Fork of Cherry. That mountain through there, there's a highway goes.
Yeah,
scenic highway. You been on that?
We came across that today, yeah.
Now that's a U-pine mountain.
Yeah.
See them U-pines down in my yard, old place?
Oh, yeah.
You come out of
there's one mountain. U-pine down there and two hemlock, or two norway.
Some hemlock, but these come out of the mountain.
I believe there's two of them U-pines down there. And the others is, them bigger ones is Norway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not around the edge of the hill, but them too have a mountain.
I was wondering about walking out to your old home out there. I don't remember how far that was. Is that?
Oh, that's a half mile. And
oh, we can do that.
Something.
I used to live down on the hill here. We bought this little place up here and got out on the road.
You can see.
It's nice, isn't it, when you have to keep your own road. It's a real mess.
They just paved this road, didn't they? Since I was
here. Yeah, they just paved it last week.
How many people, about how many people were in these logging camps at any one time? People that were working?
The company camps, Cherry River and Curtin, Vanelle, run around 100 men to the camp.
That's
Meta River runs from 80 to 100 men when I worked there in 23. And Curtin, Pardee and Curtin worked down gully from Richwood. They was about the same. And but the contractors, some of them run a big crew and some didn't. It was just according to the how big operator he was. Dad used to run about 30, 40 men. Some of them take a small job or something, 10 or 15.
How old were you when you went to the woods?
Well, the first time I was went to camp in 1912, I was 9 years old. But I got to Dad's, I just out there where Dad was logging. I was about 5 miles up 39 there from Richwood. Up at, you see a sign along the road, there's Camp 29. Camp 29 Run, there's a little branch goes up there. And about, maybe a quarter of a mile from where that sign is, on there was a bridge, a trestle across the Korea River and turned up the other side, known as the 29 crossover. And there's a stub switch run up in there about a mile, and Dad logged that side of the mountain there for several years.
Mm-hmm. But you were 9 years old when you went to the log camp. Yeah. Were you doing anything besides just...
No, I didn't do that. Well, I was about 16, 17 when I went to work there. Dad had a hillside farm over here above Trout, and we kids, most of us stayed at home, and my two older brothers, two brothers younger, there's Arthur and Shea and me, they were younger than me, and we stayed there and took care of the cattle and stuff, and somebody, the first one in the family, another lived with us till we, when we grew up. Well, I went over there when Dad was logging. I drove team when I was 13, 14 years old.
How many teams did they keep in the camp?
He usually had about three and sometimes four teams. And the big companies, they had 10, 12 teams. The company camps.
Do you remember what a draft animal would be worth in 1920?
Huh?
What would a draft animal be worth in 1920?
Oh.
$50 or $60.
Huh?
Around $50 and $60 back then.
It wasn't
get a team for it.
Well, this
$300.
And Dad bought a pair of Clydesdales. It looked about like these are having down here at the fair this year. A couple of mares from over at, from George Rhodes from over here at Rennick in about 1916. And he gave him $700 for the harness, the two mares, one of them weighed 22, another 2100. And he had a flat patch of land along Cranberry River over there with big timber on it. And he got them big mares to log that with. They cut the timber then in 8, 10, 12, 14, and 16 foot lengths. 16, unless it was a bill, you got a bill for some longer stuff. That's what all the logs come from. Mm-hmm. And he got these big mares and logged that bottom there, and then he traded them to a later team. They couldn't go up the hills to do any good. Mm-hmm. And he got a later team from Henry Baber, traded, but Henry had a flat patch there that he needed team to log on. He traded them off to him. And I believe Bill Helmick, who was another log contractor, Bill Helmick run a pretty good sized crew. He was 50 or 60 men. And he had I never heard who, where the Mares went from there, but they was prize team. Mm-hmm. And he gives $700 for them and their harness and spreaders.
That'd be a lot of money in 1920.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Did they ever use any mules for anything?
No, not in the woods. I never heard of a mule being in the woods. And there were very many mules around this neighborhood. One here and there. Down here on the old place, Kane Huffman lived down there at the old house. And when he died, they had a sale there. That was long 1914, I believe. And Scott Mullins bought a pair of little black mules. They worked in the wagon. Once in a while, you'd see a team of mules in a wagon or a plow or something like that. Mm-hmm. But them little mules, they wouldn't weigh over, maybe 800 pounds. But they was the powerfulest team for their size I ever seen. Mm-hmm. And you could work them in single or double or to a wagon or a plow or whatever you please. Mm-hmm. But Scott Mullins bought them and he kept them for years. I don't know whatever become of them.
Would you play us one on the banjo? Hmm?
I don't know for good or not. I have to trim the fingernails a bit. I always have to trim the fingernails if I play on the banjo. Got too much. They grow fast. Mm-hmm.